Too bad if we're not. This morning, we're not in Matthew. Yay! I know everyone's, wow! This morning, we're going to be in the Psalm 107. And this is a psalm about Thanksgiving. And so we're going to look at that this morning. So if you have your Bible, open up to Psalm 107. If you don't know where to find Psalm, here you go. Here's my children's church trick. Put your fingers in the middle of the Bible. Open it up. You're almost always going to hit Psalm. Then find number 107, and we're set. I'm going to read the first three verses to begin. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Let's pray. God, this morning we thank you. We thank you that we can gather together as your people. We thank you that your love is steadfast, that it endures forever. We thank you for all of the blessings that you give to us. We pray this morning as we open your word and as we look at it, that you will fill our hearts, that we might think about it, meditate upon it this week, that as we are in your word this morning, you will cause growth in us, that we will become the people you've called us to be. We ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. So this week we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, if you hadn't figured that out. It's a time when we gather together, our families, our friends. We rejoice together for the blessings that we have. As a people of this country, it's a celebration of the original settlers who survived that first winter in the land that they had come to. They had made it through a long and trying time, and they had survived that difficult situation. So they gave thanks for the outcome, and they began their new lives here in North America. As a nation, we instituted a day to give thanks. And we give thanks for what we have received as this great country that we live in. It is a day that we give thanks for what we have gotten. But I want us to look today deeper than just what we usually do. I want us to think and to see that we are not like all the other people of this nation. We are not like all the other people of the world. We are different. We are expected to be different. We are to give thanks for something more than our blessings. We are to give thanks to God. That part we understand, right? We know we're supposed to give thanks to God. But I want us to go a little bit deeper. And we might say, why do we give thanks to God? And of course, we would turn instantly and say, well, we give thanks for what God has done for us, right? And that makes sense. That's what we would do. But today, we're going to look beyond that. And I think that Psalm 107 helps us to do that. And so as we go through this psalm, we're going to talk about all these things and look beyond what's obvious. We give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love. It endures forever. We give thanks to God because he is the Lord of hosts. He is God, creator of all things. His love, which never diminishes and never changes, lasts forever. Now we know God is love. You know, the world has no idea what love is. You go out in the world, and I tell you, I don't care who you talk to, what philosopher you listen to, what radio program, even the one that calls it by its name, it doesn't matter. The world does not know what love is. The world will say, we fell out of love. We used to love each other. Now we don't love each other. We kind of fell out of love. Like love is some kind of an easy chair. You just roll over and you fall out. Oh, now I'm not in love anymore. They say we used to love, but we fell out of love. We don't love like that anymore. That's what the world sees as love. The world thinks love is an emotion that changes as the wind moves. They think that it's how you feel that determines your love. But we don't see things that way. The world, in this world, you know, they love ice cream and puppies with the same intensity that we love our grandchildren. There is no differentiation. They just talk about love as if it's this thing. But God's love is different than that. God's love never changes. It never lessens. It never grows weary. Its intensity is always the same. He never stops loving because love is his very nature. He loves his creation even when his creation rejects him and disobeys him. He loves his creation even before it was created. His love will never be changed, and it will last forever and ever. That is God's love. Look at verses 4 through 9. It says, some wandered in the desert, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry soul he fills with good things. The writer of Psalms 107 says that some wandered into barren places. The Israelites wandered. They wandered from Egypt to the Promised Land. But then when they were exiled into Babylon, they wandered again. They were divided. They were taken out of their land. And they were sent to other places. And they wandered in that wilderness, not finding what they were looking for. And when they finally cried out to God and they called to him, he delivered them and brought them back to their city of Jerusalem. Some of us have wandered in our life, haven't we? We've been in wastelands. We couldn't find our home. It was as though there were no place suited for us. And then when we finally cried out to God, he delivered us. Our search ended, and he led us to his city of Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem, a Jerusalem of heaven. It doesn't mean that there isn't suffering along the way. It means that I'm no longer searching for my way. Our search is behind us. And as we know where we are headed, God is leading us. He's taking us to our home. And we can say, give thanks, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 10 says, some sat in the darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the door of bronze, and he cuts in two the bars of iron. Some sat in darkness of prisons and at hard labor. The Israelites spent years as slaves and laborers in foreign lands, and they were forced to work for others. They had rejected God. They were punished for their choices to the banishment of their enslavement. Yet God heard their cries, and he delivered them from their bondage, and he brought them out of their darkness and drew them back to himself. Some of us have been in that prison, figuratively, maybe physically, actually been in that prison. Either way, it was a result of our own rebellion. It was a result of our own disobedience to God, doing what we wanted to do, even though he may have told us what he wanted us to do. And there we sat until we realized our disobedience, until we called out to God, and he delivered us, and he brought us out of that darkness. He brought us out and he led us into his own light. And he showed us the way home, the way to himself. And he made us new. And we again can say, give thanks, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 17 says, some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some of the Israelites were fools, and they followed their sinful desires. They ended up in affliction. Israel had acted foolishly, and in their folly, they suffered in want and need. They did what they wanted to do, even when God had told them what he wanted them to do. If you remember, there was a time when they were told, this is where God wants you to go. He wants you to stay put where you are. Don't go to Egypt. Don't leave and go after that. And they said, you go to God and you tell us what he says and we will do it. And the prophet came back to him and he said, God says, stay put. Trust me, I'll take care of you right here where you are. And they said, no. No, we're going where we want to go. And as a result of it, they suffered because of their foolish actions against God. Don't we find ourselves in the same situation? We find ourselves foolishly doing what we want to do, even though we know what God has told us. And we say, no, I'll do what I want. And then we find ourselves in the midst of that foolish affliction that comes upon us as a result of our disobedience, because we didn't listen. And then we suffer that same affliction. But when we realize our foolishness and we call upon God, he's there. He responds. He leads us out of our affliction. He heals us. He brings us back to Him. And even though we may have turned away from Him, He never turns away from us. And He's always there. And we can say, give thanks, for His steadfast love endures forever. Verse 23 says, some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Some of the Israelites went to sea, either of their own desire or as servants of the king, under whom they lived in the foreign lands. And they didn't seek God in what they were doing. And when the storms came and the ships were tossed and they were frightened, they were put at the risk of sinking and dying. And in fear they cried out to God, and He heard them, and He rescued them, and He brought them safely home. And we may find ourselves feeling as though we are being tossed about by the waves of life. We forget to seek God first, and the next thing we know, we are being tossed. And as the psalmist writes there, the waves rise up and then they drop, and your boat of life feels like it's going to the top and slamming down into the middle of that trough. We forget that God is the one who is in control. And frankly, the world is not a very friendly place. And we may end up in a place of danger or of uncertainty. The confusion of the world may overwhelm us. We find ourselves lost for direction and uncertain about where to navigate. What are we going to do? But when we cry out to God and give over control to Him, He takes control. He clears the path. He takes away the waves. He settles the sea. He calms us. He navigates for us, and we are saved from that certain shipwreck. And He takes us back to where we need to be. And we can say again, give thanks, for His steadfast love endures forever. Verse 33 tells us He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there He lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get fruitful yield. By His blessing, they are multiplied greatly, and He does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression and evil and sorrow, He pours out contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But He raises up the needy out of affliction, and He makes their families like flocks. God shows us his power and his control. He takes the desert and turns it into a lush green valley. He takes the lush places and he turns them into wasteland because he is God and he is always in control. He makes the decision and his will is always fulfilled. He's in total control. He blesses the poor and the downcast, and he brings kings and oppressors to their knees. Those who are righteous in thought are rejoicing to see God's righteousness and praising him. And those who oppose God are silenced in their recognition of God's righteousness. Verse 42 says, "The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth." We need to be wise. We need to be wise and look at what God says and what he does. He says, "Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord." We need to be looking as wise people. And our wisdom comes from God. The psalmist, the Proverbs of Solomon tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Until you recognize that God is who God is, you will not have wisdom. And the Proverbs Solomon tells us that we should seek to get wisdom and with it understanding. Where do we get that? We get that from God. Because without him, without understanding who he is, we will never gain wisdom. So if we want to be wise, we need to seek God, know who he is, understand him, and follow and obey him. Everything that we've read this morning tells us that the problems that we suffer, whether they're caused by someone else or caused by ourselves, are caused because of our disobedience or because of our foolishness or because we turn away from God. And because of that, we don't allow him to lead us into those paths of righteousness. We don't allow him to guide us to where he wants us to be. Now, when I started out today, I said, I want you to think differently about giving thanks to God. And then I went on and I focused through all of Psalm 107 about all the things that God does for us for which we should be thankful. But I want us to look a little bit further than that. I want us to see that there's more to it than just being thankful because God has done something for us. There's more to being thankful to God than just understanding his blessings upon us. Those are easy to see. But we need to be thankful for God, to God, for something greater. Paul tells us in Romans 11 that we are grafted into the vine and we have become part of God's people. As believers, you are part of God's people. And in fact, this is one of his main thrusts through this. We are now part of the people of God, Israel. We are part of that, and we are heirs of the kingdom. We are children of God. We are no longer Gentiles, but we are part of God's people. That means that all the rights, all the promises, all the relationship that Israel had with God is now ours. And we participate in all of that. Got it? Let's go back to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, listen to what Moses writes. He says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who were on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That is you. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you are one of his chosen people. And he has called you not because of anything that you have done, but because he loves you. I'll put it simply. God loves you because he loves you. That's it. God loves you because he loves you. In fact, in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 4, Paul tells us that God knew us before creation. Think about that. Before anything was made that has been made, God knew you. And because you are part of his people, he loved you because he loved you. In fact, since he knew you before you were created, it is impossible for you to have done anything ever at any time to be worthy of his love. Because he loved you before you were created, before you were even possible to do anything, he loved you. God loves you because he loves you. We are blessed because God loves us, and God loves us because he loves us. Therefore, our blessings come from him, out of his own goodness, out of his own love and kindness, because that is who God is. There is nothing that we could do that would earn us anything that God has done. But he blesses you because you are his children, and he loves you, and he takes care of you. Isn't that awesome? That's beyond understanding for me. How is it possible that he knew and loved me before I existed? And yet, he knew and loved me before I existed. And now he blesses me because he loves me. The world has no understanding for this. There is not a religion on the face of the planet that is or has ever been or ever will be that will understand that and carry that on. Because it only comes from God. We are his people, and he brings his love to us because that is who he is. So when we come to a time to give thanks, we do not have to give thanks to God for his blessings alone, though we should give thanks for his blessings, certainly. But when we come to give thanks to God, we need to say, I give thanks to God because he is God. Because he is the Lord of hosts. Because he is the creator of everything. Because he loves us before we existed. And because he loves us to the very end. His love never changes. That love never diminishes. It never softens. It never weakens. It never tires him. That love never changes, and it will be there forever. There is never a time when God says, oh, I don't know if I can love this one anymore. He never tires. He never says no. He never says, I will stop. He continues. He loves us the way he has always loved us, the way he will always love us, and that love endures forever. And we can say, give thanks, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you because we are here together as your people. We thank you because your love is amazing and beyond our understanding. Father, we thank you because you are God. You are creator of all things. You loved us before we existed. You love us still. Your love never changes. It will always be there with us. God, you are greater than we can understand. And your love is greater than our comprehension. But Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for being God, for creating, for loving, for caring. Father, we thank you because you loved us so much. You sent our Savior, Jesus, to die and to pay a price that we could never pay, so that we, your beloved children, could come and spend eternity with you. We thank you for your love and for your constant, enduring love to us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.